Hello and welcome to NCT and I Presents Boobcast with Katie and Kiva. We're both NCT qualified breastfeeding counsellors with five children between us and wide-ranging breastfeeding experiences. On this podcast, we will be delving into some of the topics that come up most regularly when we talk to parents.
So today we're going to talk about breastfeeding grief, and it's a topic that often doesn't really come up when we're talking about breastfeeding topics. We talk a lot about getting started. We talk a lot about, you know, how you can continue breastfeeding, supporting parents when they have, maybe when they're struggling and want to keep going. But we don't often talk about how parents feel when they want to breastfeed, but things that are beyond their control mean that they are not able to breastfeed. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it can be that they're not able to breastfeed at all. And sometimes it can be that they don't breastfeed for as long as they want to.
Yeah. You know, what we want to chat about is the emotions that come alongside that isn't something that is talked about. And it's certainly not something that if you're starting off in your pregnancy and you're learning about breastfeeding, there's no consideration to what if it doesn't work. You know, there's that, well, there's always formula. You know, that's a narrative that is breastfeeding women and women who want to breastfeed will always come up against. So that's something that I think needs to be talked about. The desire to breastfeed, the want to breastfeed, isn't a small emotion that can be pushed back down. And for it to get so cast aside whenever these women aren't supported to get to where they want to be. And I think a lot of women enter their parenting journey with that tentative stance on breastfeeding. You know, it's, well, I'm going to try it, but if it doesn't work, that's fine. And then if it doesn't work, maybe you start to realize that you'd wanted it more than you had let yourself or allowed yourself to kind of really think about, then it can be detrimental to the mum's mental well-being. However, I think the disappointing result is how other people dismiss those emotions.
Yeah, I think there's a bit of a self-preservation there when you're first pregnant and you start to think about, you know, the things that are going to come after the birth. And feeding is one of those questions that a lot of people ask. So you're in antenatal appointments and you sort of get the, oh, and have you thought about how you're going to feed your baby? And then, you know, people sort of bring it up well-meaning, mm-hmm. I think, in most situations, but it can feel a bit like there's a pressure. And it's not necessarily that we shouldn't be talking about breastfeeding from that point, because we definitely should be. And we can see that women who plan to breastfeed and really want to and make that decision early on and do their research, mm-hmm. and do classes and things like that do tend to have better outcomes, mm-hmm. in terms of, you know, meeting their breastfeeding goals, whatever they are.
And having that support and have established that support from the word go.
Yeah. But when it doesn't then translate into the breastfeeding journey that they expected or wanted, mm-hmm. and people often say, oh, well, at least, you know, you tried.
Yeah, you tried.
You did your best.
It's like so much to do with pregnancy and breastfeeding, the language surrounding it. You know, you tried your best is well-meaning. However, for that mum, what their take-home is, all right, I tried my best, but my best isn't good enough.
My body didn't work.
Yeah.
And that's a really damaging thing for a woman to feel, because she feels like she's maybe done a part of, mm-hmm. so she's grown the baby, she's birthed the mm-hmm. baby, and now it comes to feeding the baby and suddenly her body doesn't work anymore. Mm-hmm. And there's so much packed into why she might not be able to breastfeed in the first place. Mm-hmm. There is a certain pressure on women to say that they're going to breastfeed, to say that they want to breastfeed. And what I'm trying to say is sometimes women haven't really thought about it.
Mm-hmm.
They maybe have been brought up in a family where everybody formula feeds,
mm-hmm.
or maybe they feel like breastfeeding may not be for them.
Mm-hmm.
But as they go down further down the line, maybe they think that maybe they would like to.
Yeah.
And maybe there are barriers there that she didn't anticipate.
Mm-hmm.
There's also quite a lot of society pressure as well.
Yeah.
To breastfeed, once the baby's here,
mm-hmm.
they're often that pressure, it lifts
yeah.
and you're told, oh, well, if it doesn't work, you've got formula.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a viable option. Of course it is.
Yeah.
And it has saved babies. There's no doubt about that. And it's such a wonderful thing to be able to reach for
mm-hmm.
if you need it, if you want it. Mm-hmm. But if you're if you're feeling like you want to breastfeed
mm-hmm.
and that's the option that you want to take, it's not good enough just to say, oh, well, you can just give the baby formula and they'll be fed.
And, you know, that's something that I think we've touched on other episodes of this, of the podcast, is that acknowledgement of what that mum wants. And I think at times that gets so lost whenever, you know, the focus is always on that baby. And I get that. And of course, that is, you know, not a misplaced focus. However, that mum, that woman deserves just as much attention and focus. And so for healthcare professionals or her support network to not really hear what she's saying and to just push aside and dismiss her wants as, but that's not important because you can there's formula and it's just as good and it's great. And you know, as we have established and talked about, breastfeeding is so much more than just being able to feed your baby. That's at the crux of it, but it brings so much more. And I think it's so telling because breastfeeding is such an emotive topic. You know, it's rare you'll find a woman who has journeyed through pregnancy and birth and parenthood who doesn't have, consciously or unconsciously, a very strong opinion on breastfeeding. And I think in my experience with chatting to people, and this is you know, beyond my experience as a breastfeeding counselor, this is a, you know, conversations with my colleagues and peers of how they wanted to breastfeed and it didn't go their way. And they're still feeling those big emotions 11, 12 years down the line. And they're apologizing for it.
Yeah. And it's not necessarily that what they were doing was wrong, that there was something that was not happening for them. Often it's to do with support. It's mm-hmm. to do with advice that is maybe not correct.
Mm-hmm.
And so those women are carrying something that is not really theirs to carry in a way, because you can't just put the blame on one woman not being able to breastfeed her child when we live in a society where breastfeeding is not valued
Mm-mm.
in the way that other things are.
Yeah.
You know, there's also this feeling that if you're celebrating breastfeeding,
mm-hmm.
that, you know, you've reached milestones and that you've got to a certain point with breastfeeding, that a lot of women feel like they can't really shout about that
mm-hmm.
in public. They can't shout about that to people who they're not sure how they're going to react. Often you'll find that they'll celebrate that in closed groups or with close family or people who they know will be supportive, because there's this strange thing that if you celebrate a breastfeeding journey, that you're showing off or that you're that you're making other women feel bad, and you unintentionally, yeah, you could be making women feel bad. But why are they feeling bad in the first place?
Yeah.
And that is not on the woman who's breastfeeding, and it's not on the woman who failed breastfeeding. Mm-hmm. That is a society.
And that's it. It's like, I think it takes a woman that's breastfeeding to recognize, you know, to recognize that those emotions that that other woman that didn't get to where they hoped their breastfeeding journey would be, to realize that that would be hurtful, because as that woman that is breastfeeding and has reached those milestones, they can see the value of it, and they can really understand how upsetting it would be to have not been supported to get to where they wanted to be. And so for these conversations to not happen, for everyone feeling like, I know for myself, one thing that drove me to want to be able to support women is because the number of women that I had met that had said, oh, I wanted to breastfeed, but, and, oh, I didn't get to where I want to be and I feel bad. And it's like, wait, hold on a second here. You've nothing to apologize. You wanted this and you were let down by lots of combinations of people around you, or poor advice, or the healthcare professional that you spoke to wasn't informed on breastfeeding, and so, you know, you had recurrent mastitis, and the way you were advised by, you know, your trusted GP to avoid this is to stop breastfeeding because they've got nothing else to offer you, and you're going to carry that. And it's just so upsetting. I get upset, and for those women, because they deserve so much better.
Yeah, and the problem is there's so many of them. There's so many of these women that have fallen through the cracks and have ended up with a feeling that they could have, should have continued, and they haven't been able to. They have got to a point where they have felt like they needed to stop, and then, as you say, they're carrying it on and on. And, you know, it continues then. You're talking about families then that are carrying this trauma and grief that is, well, it's unnecessary. Mm-hmm. But also then, what does that do for the women coming up who are having babies themselves? Mm-hmm. And what kind of advice and information are they being given? And it's not intentional that this is penetrating into the generations that are coming after them, mm-hmm. but that's their lives and their truth, and that's how they feel about something. And often there's a feeling that if a woman has, I don't want to say failed because she hasn't failed, but
a woman
has been failed or feels like she's failed at breastfeeding, that then possibly, you know, her daughters won't be able to either. Mm-hmm. And there's it's very often the same with birth trauma as well. And that,
you know,
and that it's genetic, and, mm-hmm. and it's just not true, but you can understand why these women feel like that.
Yeah.
And I do think that there has been sort of a bit of a switch recently in people talking about birth trauma and how that can affect women even years and years later. And I think that we're going to hopefully get to that point where breastfeeding has a similar kind of narrative to it, and that people are a bit more open to the fact that there is a trauma that is associated with not wanting to, not having breastfed for as long as you wanted to.
Yeah. But
I don't know how we get to that point.
Exactly.
Or when we get there.
You know, we need to first have a functioning society that wants breastfeeding to succeed, and that's, you know, I would say we're a long way off. By changing that slowly, then we would be able to appreciate and acknowledge that, you know, for a woman that wants to breastfeed to not get to where they want to be. And, you know, we would always say to women to take each day at a time. You know, it's every day is a new day, and to not give yourself huge goals. You know, I don't think many women would start off their breastfeeding journey post-birth going, that's it, I'm going to get to 2 years, because they're venturing into the unknown. So, you know, whenever we're talking about women that are grieving the loss of that breastfeeding journey, we're not talking about women that had set out with their heart set on getting to 2 years. You know, in most cases, it's women that are like, well, I want to give it a try. And they don't realise, like we said, how deep-seated that want and desire is. Whether, you know, it was self-preservation or just they didn't really think about it in those first, you know, toward the end of pregnancy. And I just, it's so important that women have a space, that they feel safe, that they can process and talk and get angry about how they were failed, and to release that feeling of guilt that women are so very good at allowing themselves to accept and carry.
Yeah, exactly. And there's definitely something in as well that you're, when you have your first baby, you're thinking, yeah, I might breastfeed, I'll give it a go, I'll see how things go. And when, and maybe getting to a point fairly early on where it feels like it's not working and deciding to stop. But actually, it's not just that decision, it's then afterwards, it's the meeting other women at groups, it's feeling like you can't join a breastfeeding group because you're not feeding your baby the right way. And it's when people ask you questions about how your baby's sleeping and how your baby's feeding, and, you know, different kind of conversations that come up once you become a parent. And I think it's not something that's just gonna completely disappear. It's gonna be something that comes up time and time again. And the way that people make you feel when they ask those questions will have an impact on your day. It will have an impact on your week.
Yeah.
And that might not go away for a really long time, that day to day.
Exactly. You know, as a new mum, you know, you really do need that support network around you. And if you are feeling ashamed, embarrassed, all these big emotions because you were failed in achieving what you wanted, then it could cause you to not join, and not being able to build that network, not being able to have that, you know, maternity experience that you so hope for, can be such a negative cycle for that woman, for her to feel so intensely withdrawn from society.
And on the same token, I mean, when you're a breastfeeding mother, you feel like everything is aimed towards formula and bottle feeding, and you feel like there's huge pressure to bottle feed. But to be on the other side of that, I think it hurts a bit more, because you've tried something and you feel like it hasn't worked, and it hasn't been what you expected.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas I think when a mother has breastfed for a bit longer and people start to talk to them about bottles and things like that, they become a bit more resolute in their decision, how they feel about continuing. But if you're not able then to channel those emotions that you've got into continuing something that you are becoming really passionate about, then it can feel really, really alienating for somebody who is on the other side of that and feels like maybe you're putting something in their face that they don't want to see.
Exactly.
And that's not their intention at all.
And it's such a tricky balance. You know, so Amy Brown has that book, Why Breastfeeding Grief Matters, and I love it because it says everything. And I find myself, you know, reading it and just wanting to shout, you know, out loud how great it is, how it hits the nail on the head. And she compares, she would say that, you know, if you equate it to men's, you know, erectile dysfunction, how many, you know, because it's a bodily function, how many millions, billions of pounds are pumped into this sort of research? What if, you know, woman was, if enough money, more money, any money was mindfully pumped into supporting these women getting to where they want to be? And it comes back down to that value that's placed on, you know, breastfeeding support, empowering and sharing information about breastfeeding and how it works. We know that it is so beneficial to women and their partners whenever they have a real grounding of how breastfeeding works. However, in most of the cases, that needs to be sought out by the couple. Yeah. And whenever it's just not regularly easily accessed, then it's going to be an afterthought. And there's no one willing to put, you know, the resource in to ensure that women get what they want and what they deserve.
Yeah, and the big point there is that when a man has erectile dysfunction, he doesn't get blamed for that. It's a bodily function that is malfunctioning or not working in some way. And so he knows that he might be embarrassed about it, but he knows
and he'll get help. He'll get supported, done.
But he can go to the GP and the GP knows exactly what to do. If a woman is struggling with breastfeeding, she can't go to the GP normally, most GPs. She won't be able to go to the GP and say, I'm really struggling with this. Can you put me in touch with somebody who can help? Because there just isn't that infrastructure there. That it's not, and that support is not available. Very, very few GP surgeries would even know where to start with accessing breastfeeding support for women. And so you're left with women who have maybe been discharged by their midwife already, or maybe they've been given information by their midwife, but it's, you know,
given in days of those early days, and
you might not remember so many things. And so you're left just looking on Facebook or, you know, social media. If you haven't got social media, you're definitely a lot more in the dark, because at least if you put breastfeeding into your Facebook search bar, you'll come across a local group more likely than not.
And so you've got that. Or your only alternative is paying for a lactation consultant who is fabulous and so worthwhile, but not every family has the resources to afford such, what should be a commonplace, easily accessible service, is a luxury.
No, and where do you find those people anyway? If I had been told 10 days postpartum to find a lactation consultant, I wouldn't have known who to ask. I wouldn't have known where to go, who to find, how you even know if they're qualified or not. Mm-hmm. And that's something that I've learned over the years, but it's not something that I would have known as a first-time mother. I'm not even sure if I knew what a lactation consultant was or what they did. there are services available, of course there are, but it's accessing them. If nobody in your family or your friend group has breastfed mm-hmm. or has struggled with mm-hmm. breastfeeding, then they're not going to know how to find a lactation consultant no. either.
And that's it. Like, if you go back to basics about what women deserve through their the start of their breastfeeding journey and beyond, it's accessible services. It's even something as basic as their GP practice having a list of local resources whenever breastfeeding hasn't gone as you hoped or you desired, having that safety network to go and have those conversations with and allow yourself to process it so you can acknowledge it and learn to accept that it wasn't you, and then carry on your parenting journey without it causing these ripple effects, which, you know, at the time seems so small, but could carry on or have major implications down the line. Women deserve that space. Like, could you imagine going to your GP and, you know, having that conversation? Oh, I wasn't able to breastfeed and I'm really struggling with accepting that. I just don't think a GP, unless they had substantial breastfeeding experience or knowledge, would know what to do with that sort of conversation.
No, or understand
those emotions. It would be like, you've just had a baby, you're very hormonal, it's fine. Your baby's doing great, your baby's thriving. Well, I'm not here to talk about my baby, I'm here to tell you how I'm feeling. And then that leads into that women having to apologize. Well, I wasn't, you know, that apologetic stance that I wasn't able to breastfeed, or it didn't work for me. And it's like, that's not what you should have to do. They're not the emotions you should be expressing.
No, and, you know, things like counseling and things like that would be an option in those situations, but the reassurance of, oh well, your baby's fine, they're thriving, they're putting on weight, is often just a little bit short of what's needed. The mother can see the baby, they know that. Mm-hmm. What they're trying to get at is that there is something bigger going on for them, and there should be an outlet for that, a way for them to talk about that that is inclusive and is understanding and supportive. And, you know, I think that there's a huge, I don't think the media really help with this kind of thing, because I think there's quite a lot of, often when you see stories about breastfeeding, it's negative stories. It's, I was forced to breastfeed for a certain amount of time.
I was starving my child because I was told I had to breastfeed.
I wasn't given any formula. I wasn't given any support to breastfeed. So I moved to formula and everybody's happy. And you know, in individual situations, I'm sure that those stories are useful to some people. But really, what we need to be thinking about is, why are people so angry about their breastfeeding journeys that they have to talk about it in the media like that? And, you know, what is actually going on? And, you know, maybe if those women had had an outlet to go to see their GP and were able to access counseling, were able to access better breastfeeding support, then maybe they wouldn't have been in that situation in the first place. And, you know, they shouldn't be so angry about it.
No,
because it's not their fault.
You've been listening to NCTNI Presents Boobcast with Katie and Kifa. Join us next time for more breastfeeding chat. This podcast is brought to you in association with NCT Northern Ireland and funded by the Public Health Agency NI. You can follow us on Facebook and Instagram and find out more about our courses on the NCT website.